For our second reading, our Old Testament reading, to 2 Kings, chapter 16. Second Kings 16, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. In the 17th year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, Ahaz, the son of Jotham, king of Judah, began to reign. 20 years old was Ahaz when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord his God, like David his father. But he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, yea, and made his son to pass through the fire, according to the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel. And he sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. Then Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to war. And they besieged Ahaz, but could not overcome him. At that time, Rezin, king of Syria, recovered Elat to Syria and drave the Jews from Elat. And the Syrians came to Elat and dwelt there unto this day. So Ahaz sent messengers to Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, saying, I am thy servant and thy son. Come up and save me out of the hand of the king of Syria and out of the hand of the king of Israel, which rise up against me. And Ahaz took the silver and gold that was found in the house of the Lord and sent and in the treasures of the king's house and sent it for a present to the king of Assyria. And the king of Assyria hearkened unto him, for the king of Assyria went up against Damascus and took it and carried the people of it captive to Kir and slew Rezin. And King Ahaz went to Damascus to meet Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, and saw an altar that was at Damascus. And King Ahaz sent to Urijah the priest the fashion of the altar and the pattern of it, according to all the workmanship thereof. And Urijah the priest built an altar according to all that King Ahaz had sent from Damascus. So Urijah the priest made it against King Ahaz came from Damascus. And when the king was come from Damascus, the king saw the altar, and the king approached to the altar and offered thereon. And he brought his burnt offering and his meat offering and poured his drink offering and sprinkled the blood of his peace offerings upon the altar. And he brought also the brazen altar, which was before the Lord, from the forefront of the house, from between the altar and the house of the Lord, and put it on the north side of the altar. And the king Ahaz, and King Ahaz commanded Urijah the priest, saying, upon the great altar burn the morning burnt offering and the evening meat offering, and the king's burnt sacrifice and his meat offering, with the burnt offering of all the people of the land, and their meat offering and their drink offerings, and sprinkle upon it all the blood of the burnt offering and all the blood of the sacrifice, and the brazen altar shall be for me to inquire by. Thus did Urijah the priest according to all that King Ahaz commanded. And King Ahaz cut off the borders of the bases and removed the laver from off them and took down the sea from off the brazen oxen that were under it and put it upon a pavement of stones. And the covert for the Sabbath that they had built in the house and the king's entry without turned he from the house of the Lord for the king of Assyria. Now the rest of the acts of Ahaz which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And Ahaz slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David, and Hezekiah his son reigned in his stead. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. So it's timely, isn't it? Because last week in our study of Isaiah chapter 8, we heard of Rezin and the son of Remaliah, Pekah. And they were threatening, and here we have that threat come to its fruition. They come and they besiege Jerusalem. And who should the people turn to then? Who should they turn to? Should they turn to wizards that peep and mutter for deliverance, or should they inquire of their God? This is exactly what's being played out before our eyes here in 2 Kings 16. Ahaz comes to power, and he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord God, like his father David. The irony of his machinations are, I think, vexing, really, really grievous. We'll take a look at this. So the first thing that's said about him is that he caused his son to pass through the fire according to the abominations of the heathen. What does that mean? Most of you know that illicit human relations were a part of the pagan worship. And of course, that always engenders children. And what do you do with the children? Well, what we do with the children in our day, we all know. What they did in that day was they offered them a burnt offering. And so this is what Ahaz did. He had committed idolatry, and in the commission of that idolatry, procured for himself a son. I'm being gentle here. And then from that, offered him as a burnt offering to that false god. Let's not be too hard on that age and say how barbaric it is. We are as much in tune with a like barbarism as that in our age. We're just a little bit more clandestine and less brazen about it. So, the first irony is this, that the Lord had cast out that worship from before the children of Israel. He scraped those nations off the land that practiced such abominations. What do you think Ahaz is doing then? He's drawing down the displeasure of heaven upon the southern kingdom now. Not just the northern kingdom, but now the southern kingdom. So the first irony is the same sin for which the Lord drove out the Canaanites, Ahaz takes up. Let's keep reading. The second irony is rather than calling upon the Lord, he calls upon the Assyrians, whom they were earlier afraid of. But he uses the treasury of the gold and silver that is not only in the king's house, but it is in the house of the Lord. And so he makes then the things of the house of the Lord subservient to Tiglath-Pileser, giving up that which belongs in the house of the Lord to a foreign or pagan king to buy him off so that he will help him. Well, Tiglath-Pileser is a shrewd man. He's not going to come and confront Pekah and Rezin as they're besieging Jerusalem. Instead, what he does is he attacks Damascus, the capital of Syria, right, where Rezin is king. Rezin hears about it, and he travels back there, and he loses his life. Rezin dies. After Tiglath-Pileser takes the captives and conquers Damascus, Ahaz went to meet Tiglath-Pileser face to face, probably to tell him thank you and to bring him more presents for getting Israel and Syria off of his back. But while he is there, he spies the altar of the Damascenes, right? The Damascene altar. Now, let's just remember what just happened. The Damascenes had just been conquered by the Assyrians, right? Ahaz spies that altar of the Damascenes, and the gods of that altar obviously could not protect them against the Assyrian army, yet he likes it so much that he sends the pattern of it home to Urijah, a wicked priest who should have said, "Get thee behind me, Ahaz," but instead builds him the altar that he desires and sets it up in the place of God's own altar of burnt offering, the brazen altar with the network on it. It was positioned to the east of the house, in between the laver and the house itself, by God's command. Now it is put over on the north side of the house, and the Damascene altar built in its stead, And so the gods of the Damascenes who were not able to deliver them are now the gods by whom the people of God are inquiring in the Lord's own house. Another irony. And then what happens? Well, he comes back, Ahaz does, and offers his own offerings on that altar, and then commands Urijah to do this. All of the offerings of the people of the land, and all of my daily offerings, my peace offerings, you offer on that altar there, the Damascene altar, the one you built. And take the altar of the Lord and move it off to the north side of the house in that shady side. And then if I have a special matter that I want to inquire of the Lord for, I'll go there. That's what Ahaz says. But nobody else can offer on that altar but me. And so it is an interesting twist in his own mind that he is so very inconsistent that he thinks the Lord will receive him privately through some sort of private devotion of his own when day by day by day he is offering to the gods of Syria that were not able to deliver them. Well, this is indeed the natural outcome of all syncretistic and man-pleasing religion, isn't it? God will hear me because I'm specially devoted to him over here. No, he will not. Finally, then, we see that was not enough for him, but he took down the brazen sea that the priests were to wash in, which was, some 30 feet in diameter, right? It was seated upon the 12 oxen, three looking north, three looking south, three looking east, and three looking west, each of them designed to represent one of the tribes of Israel. And he took that sea and he had it lifted off of those oxen and he broke down all of that brass and used it for other things. No more brazen oxen there. And he put it on a pavement of stones instead, as if to say, this religion is no longer truly Israelite anymore. It no longer rides upon the 12 tribes. This is truly a syncretistic religion then. And then the covert for the Sabbath that they had built in the house of the Lord, that is the place where the king might come and be, if you will, covered during the Sabbath festivities, if you will, the true worship of God. No more any need for that. He took it down and he sent it to the king of Assyria as a present instead. And so what do we see with Ahaz? We see all of the earmarks of that inconsistent and man-pleasing idolatry that has such irony attached to it that it grieves us. So then, the rest of the acts of Ahaz, which he did, they're written in the Chronicles, and he slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. I like what Matthew Henry says at the beginning of this chapter in his commentary. He says, this chapter is wholly taken up with the reign of Ahaz, and we have enough of it. Isn't that true? All right, but there's a bright light coming. He was buried with his fathers, and Hezekiah, his son, reigned in his stead. Well, with that then, let's stand.